Hello everyone, welcome to Chan Podcast. Here is where you learn about meditation and Chan. So, what is Chan? Chan, spelled as C-H-A-N, is the Chinese school of Mahayana Buddhism and is the originating tradition of Japanese Zen. We encourage you to learn and practice meditation with a group. If you'd like to, feel free to visit our website londonchanmeditation.org.
Good evening. I see the reflections from my eyeglasses. I probably have to tilt my body, lean forward a little bit to avoid that. I hope we were not causing any disturbance to you. Okay. So how are everyone sitting tonight? Okay, all right. Okay, well tonight we have the informal movements was shorter. Okay, so tonight we're going to explore and discuss dealing with obstacles in family relationships. In the past 2 weeks, we have been talking about a relationship between spouse and or partners. Last week, we talked about the children's and parents' relationship, more focusing on a particular case, a child relationship or perspectives to the parent. So today we're going to talk about, we all want to have a happy, warm and caring family. There are some obstacles. Just like our world, there are always obstacles here and there. But let me tell you one thing, straight front. If you see it as an obstacles, then it is obstacles. Listen well. If you perceive that, if you see that as an obstacles, as a problem, as an obstructions, then it is. It is the problem, it is the obstacles, it is the obstructions. But on the other hand, if you see it as an opportunity to know yourself better, to know the other person better, for you to learn something. Don't see it as an obstacle. This is the most important thing. If someone is nasty to you, very harsh and treating you unfairly, you don't like this person at all. But don't perceive that person. Don't recognize that person as an enemy. Once you start seeing that person as an enemy, then he will be your enemy. Same thing here, obstacles in family relationship. Okay. The first important thing is don't see it as an obstacles, as a problem, as an obstructions. Okay, all right. This is the most important thing. No matter what happens in our life, what we run into, what we encounter with, a very important attitude. Okay. There are three things in life which matters a lot to us. And there are also the three things hardest to let go of. First, it's our life. That every breath is our life, our life. Second, is children. The third is money. Most of our family problems, issues in the family, breaking up, relationship, harming each other. Many of the problems all seems to relate to these three matters. There could be something else. There could be fourth and fifth. But let's deal with these three first. Let's deal with these three now. Yeah. When we are ill, we will spend all the money we have to recover our health, to receive medical treatment, get the medicine, however expensive it is, to save our life. When our children are ill, sick, we will also spend all the money we have to make sure that our children recover, get their health back, and be able to live their life. Be able to live. Even at the expense of all our money, possessions, properties, if we can exchange that with our life, we will definitely do it. Not just our life, our children's life. We will rather give away all our money and possessions in exchange for our life, our children's life. Is it true? Yeah, without life, all these things means nothing to you. Right? So all our family problems seems to be centered or mainly related to these three things. Well, and then I like to talk about it in a backward sequence. First, about the money. How much is enough? How much is enough? With all the money you have, how are you going to use it? How do you allocate the money? That you spend all your life, day and night, thinking about getting a better job for what? Better pay. All the money you have. What's the purpose of making so much money? To make your life better? Enjoy more materials, wealth? Or to make you happier? Living a wholesome and happier life. Yeah. Ask you that. When your life becomes a go into a money chaser in whatever way, by cheating, by investments, by, become a workaholic. And very often the workaholic has anything to make the most money that one can. And with all the money you have earned, How would it be fair or acceptable regarding who's using how much in the family? By entitlement? What entitlement? Or should the money be equally shared and used among all family members? Or is it by the decision of the breadwinner? Or by who needs them and how they need it and how much that person needs? Yeah, think of this. What will be considered fair? That you use the money for the entire family. Well, there are a couple of cases that we can think over. Do you know the favorite pike, the favorite pie in Canada? Do you know what pie is at? Do you like pies? Do you know what is the Canadian's favorite pies? Well, somebody is looking up with their eyes rolling. It's apple pie. The same as Americans. Their favorite pie, apple pie. Well, now come to think of an apple pie not on your dining table. Well, you had quite a few members in the household. How are you going to eat it among family members? Well, you could divide it evenly, you know, equal size, equal share of the pies among family members. That's a way to do it. Although it may not be the best. Maybe someone would not be really happy and satisfied with his share. And another person may not be able to finish and need help from another person to finish that slice of pie, especially a deep dish apple pie. If a family has a few children and the family is not financially sound, is not capable to support every child to go to college, if you are parents, what will you do? Will you be getting a second job or third jobs to support every one of your children who wants to go to college? Eventually, go to college. Would that be your consideration? Or just choose one. That's the only one that you can afford to send the child to college, go to the college. You choose one among all the children. I hope it's not a tough choice for you. Last Saturday, a beloved lady I'm not sure whether I pronounced her name correctly, Aileen Crescent. Whose husband is Jean Crescent, who has been our prime minister in the longest time in Canada. Her husband, Jean, is the ninth children out of the 10 in the family. And he comes from a blue collar family, actually quite poor. So none of them can go to college. His older brother, Maurice, who worked in an insurance company at that time and won a scholarship in the company that he was working for at that time, which allowed him to attend medical school. And with the profits from his medical practice, then he was able to provide and allow his younger siblings to attend the colleges. So one older brother make all his efforts to take on this rare opportunities to go to medical school and make the money and support all his younger brother and sister to go to college. So from these two examples, we can know that money itself is really not the problem, as long as the family cherish and value love and care. And love and care is the most important value in the family that bond everybody together. Everyone in the family loves and cares for each other. And then money would not be an issue at all. Someone will be willingly and perhaps happily to sacrifice some of his, you know, or make extra effort to support the other members in the family. You know, in the East and in the West, we all heard about, you know, the stories, and even we may know some of our friends from a rich family, that their children got onto the court of fighting for inheritance, for the property, for the money that their parents left them. And they become enemies, never speak or see each other again in the rest of their life. What kind of family is that? They're wealthy. Even one of hundreds of their money is more than supports a regular family. But they are not satisfied yet. And on the other hand, some family may not really enjoy much of material wealth, but they are close and they are happy, they're caring for each other. So the problem is not money itself. It is the greed. Greedy mind. And then, what is fair? What is fairness, fair right, fair share? It's not from the worldly sense that equally divided is called fairness. No, that's not the case. Certainly not from the Buddhist perspectives. The principle of causes and conditions, causes and consequences. And causes, the principle, the working of causes and conditions and consequences is the fairest way that things turn out to be. act and play according to the principle of causes and conditions, causes and consequences. Okay. Second, children. Wow, children certainly cause a lot of issues in the family. If the grandparents also involved, that'd be more complicated. Grandparents raise, if they help to take care of the grandchildren, then they certainly will take care of the grandchildren the only way they know how. And there's always a generation gap there because the society has changed. The value has changed. All the facilities and you know, even the medical sciences changed so much. How to raise children? Should it be more like a disciplinary and law and order type? Or it is better to be motivated, inspiring approach that inspire the children, motivate the children? Which approach is better? Can you say it? I think it is also depend on the child himself. You know, just like adults, your friends. Some the inspiring, motivated approach probably suit them better. Some could be disciplinary. And then it also has to do with the parents' personality, how the parents was brought up, what kind of a rearing he received from the grandparents, and how the parents was brought up by the grandparents. All these have an impact. As I said, each one of us, that we become who we are, comes with a history. Our history, the history of parents and our grandparents. The parents may not know how to raise their children differently from how they were brought up. They were not given the chance, the opportunity to practice being a parent in another occasion in this life. They're only doing the way, perhaps the only way they know how. And children, it's not just your child. Maybe when they were young, it's actually, even though, no matter how young they were actually an individual, a whole person, a whole person who needs to develop their body, mind, emotions, and relationships with others, and who needs to learn to meet his physical, physiological, psychological, spiritual, emotional, and social needs. They need to recognize their needs, all these kinds of needs, and learn how to meet their needs. As a parent, it's always helpful and very useful to be able to see their needs and learn to see their needs, potentials, see their potentials, and be able to provide assistance and guidance when such need appears. Not imposing our projection or our unfulfilled dreams on them, but try to turn them into someone we wanted to turn ourselves into, but we fail. If you do that, you may create the deepest, the long-lasting suffering that they will endure throughout their life. Actually, be able to see them as a whole person, see their needs, understand them, see their potential, and be able to provide the need when they need it, provide assistance when they need it. It's actually one of the most difficult, toughest practice that we do. And be able to do that. And there are actually a lot we need to do. We need to engage in the practice. Firstly, the same attitude, the same approach to ourselves. Be able to accept ourselves, who we are, what we are right now. Be able to really see our needs. Not the superficial one. See what's lacking. What our real needs are. Not the needs that appear like a cover up. The true needs. Be able to know how we really feel. And this is actually a very important transformation process. Only when we are transformed, will we begin to see our children as who they are. See our children as they are. See them as a whole person. Then you may find that your children are just as good as they are. What you have done, what you want to do, maybe unnecessary, maybe an excess, or even a burden to them. The third is facing death, illness. This comes to our fundamentals, issues It's related to our deepest insecurity and fear. And this is a very big and complicated issue. So maybe a save for the future. And I also want to talk about quarrels and fight between parents, between partners, and sometimes parents and children, especially they're in a very tense relationships, you know, like reacting negatively all the time over small things, trivial things, and which you do think that's really nothing, meaningless or funny, got into a fight over those little things. But however, it just keep on occurring, all these reoccurrence of the, you know, similar things. Why is that? It has to do with undercurrents of our emotions that has not surfaced. The undercurrents of what we feel, what we experience, our mental states. It could be stress, agitation, frustration, disappointment, even disappointment at yourself, or sometimes it's just simply physical exhaustions, running out of patience and energy. If you can come to be aware of that, know that's something that you weren't aware of. You thought you would be fine. You were just fine. You didn't sense. You didn't detect. There's such an undercurrent there. But if you find yourself get into a fight over trivial things, nothing major, nothing big, and once it starts, it's hard to stop it. It just keep going. It's like a bouncing there. It's like a very negative bouncing back and forth to each other. Then it could be that. So on the spot, if you come to realize, become aware of that and just stop. There's something, okay? It's not the matter, not the issue, it's something. It's related to your undercurrents of your mental states and your emotions, how you feel, what you have experienced that you thought was fine, nothing. And whoever stopped first is the winner. It's the diligent one. Okay. And finally, that we may find that we may in a very awkward situation that we have, you know, try hard to think of all possible solutions, possible ways to solve the issues, but nothing seems to work. Then perhaps it is the time to put the issue, put the matter aside for the time being. Not to deal with it, is dealing with it. And that could be your best solution at that time. Put it aside, not to take actions, not to deal with it at that time. Putting aside is not giving up. Don't care of it. Don't care about it anymore. No, it's not that. Or pretending it does not happen. Doesn't exist. No. Putting aside is not that. It is temporarily putting it down. And at the same time, you're patiently observing, situation may change. Different causes and conditions come together. Things started to change, the situation changed. It is patiently waiting for the causes and conditions to change. And constantly aware, caring about it, what's happening there, anything going on. And then you may find a way to solve it. Once the causes and conditions change, you may find a good opportunity, a good road lies ahead. And this is certainly not easy. Your mind, your energy level has remained there. It's not like giving up. I've become disappointed. I'm very frustrated. I don't want to deal with it. You're going down. You're not going high. And you still care about it. At the same time, during this period of waiting, observing, it is the practice of patient endurance. To bear adversity with calmness and clarity. That's the practice. That's exactly the practice. Calm, forbearance, or patient endurance. That's one of the practice in the six perfections, six parameters. You have to maintain a very calm and stable mindset and clearly aware. At the same time, your mind is compassionate. You still care about it, care about the person, and care about what is going on, how it's going to change. And also at the same time, be aware of all the possible changes going on. And then observe the right timing and have a clear mind to see maybe there is a new solution to solve this matter. So this is a practice of loving kindness, cultivation of clearness, clarity of the mind, and calm mind. So if you don't see any practical or good solution at that time, anything you do, any message or whatever you do could turn this issue worse, and don't do anything. Putting it aside and wait till the causes and conditions change. Then a better solution appear. So there will be no confrontation or fight or any breakup that will occur immediately. You're maintaining that. And also give everybody the time and space to review this whole thing. And everybody needs time and space to dissolve their emotions, to have a second chance to come around to see this matter Don't try to solve anything or take actions when you are emotional. That would definitely not do any good to you or your family. Okay. So that concludes my talk tonight.